Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, my name is Barbara Hofmeister and I am your host for today's show. To be or not to be, the choice is yours. And that is exactly what we're going to talk about in the next 30 minutes. About the choices that people take in their lives, the consequences that come out of having made those choices. You're going to hear from really interesting people that sometimes have made wrong choices and were able to correct them. You will hear very, very inspiring stories, how people overcame their challenges and how people started to live their dream, to live the life that they truly choose to live, the life that they've always wanted to live. So get ready for an exciting 29 minutes from today's To Be show. Hi everybody, my name is Barbara Hofmeister and welcome to the To Be show. And today we have a very special guest and her name is Jihan Baraka. And Jihan is special because she actually lives in her purpose since she was very, very young, and we're going to talk about that because most of us don't really realize our purpose until we're much, much older. So this is going to be a very exciting journey today for the next 30 minutes. And what does Dharma mean? Well, she lives in her Dharma. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, sorry.
Yes. It comes from the ancient Sanskrit language, and it means to live a life in and with purpose. So good evening, Jihan. Welcome to the To Be show.
Good evening. Sorry, I was talking over you. Nice to be with you, and thank you so much, Barbara, for this great opportunity.
Oh, you are so welcome, so welcome. You always support me and always sort of put me along on the days that I don't feel so great. I get a nice, inspiring message from you on Facebook. So thank you very, very much for being on the show. I'm really looking forward to this.
Me too.
Do you want to explain a little bit what you mean with you live in Dharma and how you found it? Because you said that you started very, very early. You always knew what you wanted in life or what your purpose was here.
Yes, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to start from an excerpt from a wonderful book that has helped me to understand what Dharma is. And it's the book's title is The Soul's Code, and the author's name is James Hillman, The Soul's Code, and he's a Jungian follower of the Swedish psychologist Carl Jung. He says in his book, the soul of each of us is given a unique daemon, which is in Greek, which means a call or a calling, before we are born, and it has selected an image or a pattern that we live on earth. The soul companion, the daemon, guides us here in the process of arrival. However, we forget all that took place and believe we come empty into this world. The daemon, this is the soul aspect, remembers what is in your image and belongs to your pattern. And therefore, your daemon is the carrier of your destiny. Now, when I take this and I go to the ancient Sanskrit meaning of dharma, which in the West is pronounced dharma, it really refers to one's purpose in life. And what I realize in response to your question, how did this start with my life as a young toddler? When I was a very, very young child, I remember being on stage. My parents had me in school at the age of 2.5. I started school very early. Yes, I know. And I remember my earliest recollection around before age 3, I was already performing on live stage in live plays. Mm-hmm. And from then on, I realized that every time there was a pattern, there is a distinct pattern that I would end up in front of the camera, be it in the form of photography, be it in the form of film, be it in radio, always on stage on this platform. And I was always doing something, again, another pattern, consistently inspiring humanity to honor their dharma as I honored my dharma, my purpose.
That's excellent. It's very unusual that, I mean, I know that we have already a calling before we actually are born, but most people, as you also mentioned, or as Jung mentioned, forget about it, and they think they come empty-handed to this world, and then they struggle most of their lives, and some of them, they struggle all of their lives because they don't find their calling, and they feel a bit lost. So can you make a suggestion, or do you have a tip for our listeners how they can actually find their calling? So, you know, I find it such a shame. I mean, in my presentations, in my life workshops, I noticed that more than 90% of the people who come to my workshops, and they are already into personal development, they don't really know what they want out of life. They don't really know what is their calling. And you know, if you can enlighten them in any way, I mean, whatever, that can help them, it would be really wonderful.
Yes, it's very, very simple. And what I realized, again, the greatest things in life are the simplest things. So I'm going to show you four, and I'm going to share four steps with you and your listeners of how to unfold from your own self and uncover your dharma and your potential. So the first question I invite your listeners to address is, what do I absolutely love to be, love to do, and love to have? Question number one.
That's very good, because I keep asking that also in my presentations, and it's also in my book, because we must become aware of that and actually take charge of that also. Can you repeat the question so everyone has time to write it down?
Yes, the first question is, what do I absolutely love to be, love to do, and love to have? And when you write down, and I invite people to sit down and create a nice ambiance, a nice conducive ambiance, and respond to this question on paper. And keep writing and writing and writing, you know, not just for that moment, for days to come. And when we share from our heart of hearts, our authentic self, for ourselves, what we love to be, do, and have, we will see on a piece of paper the essence of who we really are in this moment.
Very true.
Right? So that's the first question. The second question is, what are my unique gifts and talents that are from within me, innate within me? My abilities, my skills, what are they? Define them on a piece of paper. Again, write them down. And for example, if I were to answer this question, I would say, I love sharing heartfelt conversations with people. I love communicating on any forum, on any medium. I am natural at this. This just comes natural to me. You can put me in front of a camera and I don't even notice there's a camera, or in front of a microphone, or in front of thousands of people. To me, it's the same as being intimate with one-on-one with someone.
Mm-hmm.
With myself. So what are your unique gifts and talents that are there that you didn't even have to go out and acquire through formal education? Okay, that's question number two.
Mm-hmm.
Question number three is, when you take the response to question number one and two, the answer to three is, when you combine what you love to do, be, and have, and your unique gifts and talents, now how do you take this into the world and serve humanity and environment and creation? How do you serve the world? Because these gifts are meant for us to bring them forth into the world in a form of service and servitude. How do I make a difference in the world with all these wonderful attributes and gifts I've been entrusted and bestowed with? And here I'm going to pause before I get to the fourth question, And I'm going to just share an excerpt from Khalil Gibran's poem on work from his book, The Prophet. Khalil Gibran, the great Lebanese poet, wrote, "Work is love made visible. Work is love made visible. And if you cannot work with love, but only with distaste, it is better that you should leave your work and sit at the gate of the temple and take alms of those who work with joy. For if you bake bread with indifference, you bake a bitter bread that feeds but half man's hunger. And if you grudge the crushing of the grapes, your grudge distills a poison in the wine. And if you, and if you sing though as angels and love not the singing, you muffle man's ears to the voices of the day and the voices of the night. So work is love made visible. When we are living in dharma and following our heart and our purpose, we come from that highest place of being state, which is love."
Yeah, that is true. My father was working very, very hard all his life, and he always told me, "My work is my hobby. I love doing that." He got up very early every morning, about 4 or 4:30, and sometimes I saw him, and I was always surprised that he looked so cheerful and so, you know, excited at this time of morning. And he said to me, "Barbara, my work is my hobby. I love going to work. I love doing what I'm doing, and I'm looking forward to the exciting day ahead." So obviously, I mean, that will give you totally different attitudes towards working than if you just sort of think, "Oh my God, it's Monday again and I've got to go to work now." That is a totally different attitude, and obviously the outcome will also be totally different.
Yes, very much so, very much so. I love the way you describe that. That's perfect. And then the last question, Barbara, is, what legacy do I want to leave behind? How does my life make an impact in the world, not while I'm just here, after I physically transition, and not just for one generation, for generations to come? And I would use the example of Bach or Beethoven or Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, Rumi, the poet, and I can go on and on, Mother Teresa, you know. And I'm not saying all of us are going to be in that level, but it doesn't matter. I'm so sorry. We all have a rippling effect that we don't even know, known as the butterfly effect in quantum physics. You know, anything we think, do, feel is already vibrating outside of us and creating reality. So imagine when we are consciously creating and living in dharma, the impact that we leave in the world for future generations.
Yeah, that is very true. We don't know. I mean, Jim Rohn always said, "You never know who is in the audience." And he meant with that, always, always give your best, because you don't know who will be listening. You don't know who you will touch with whatever you are saying. So communicate clearly, but always, always give your best. And I mean, he has inspired a lot of the big personal development people of today, that are like Tony Robbins, for instance. Was, I think, Jim Rohn was his first mentor. And it's important that we always share our message, no matter if we have one person in front of us, or if we are writing something, we don't know how many people will read it, or if we are in front of a group, we don't know. Sometimes there's 1,000 people in the room, and maybe you change one life. But that already is, you know, more than most people do. And it's so inspiring and it's so touching. So take that opportunity and take these questions, please. Seriously, you can listen to this program again and again. It will stay up for several months, so you can listen to it again. Please do so. And take these questions very serious, because they will give you an insight of who you are and why you are here.
Right. And can I add another short excerpt again from The Soul's Code by James Hillman? Because this is a powerful statement. And it allows us to really take responsibility for who and what we are and why we are here. It's a short excerpt. It's Hillman writes, as explained by the greatest of later Platonists, Plotinus, we elected the body, the parents, the place, and the circumstances that suited the soul, and that, as the myth says, belonged to necessity. This suggests that there is a circumstance and circumstances including my body and my parents, whom I may curse, are my soul's own choice. Basically, I chose everything, Barbara, and I do not understand this because I have forgotten. So we have forgotten that we sat with the great architect, as I say, and we designed the blueprint of our life.
And that is unfortunately true, yeah.
Right. And my experience is when I sit and I am still, you know, I think Eckhart Tolle is really brought forth in The Power of Now and The New Earth, his book. It says,
yes,
you know, when we are in that moment in stillness, stillness speaks to us, and it communicates our dharma to us, and not dharma just way of work. Dharma and purpose is everything we do from breath to breath, moment to moment.
Yeah, that is also very true. And because everybody's running around like a headless chicken, not everybody, but vast majority of people, and we keep so busy at all times that most people don't listen to that silence, don't listen to that stillness that is within. And that makes it more difficult to find your purpose, more difficult also to find fulfillment within yourself and happiness within yourself.
Yes, and I feel nature is a great teacher, Barbara, because as I sit here with you, I am enjoying in front of me beautiful tulips that I have in this vase, and I'm looking, and I've been looking at these tulips as they open. And what I realize, they're being, they're not doing, though there is action as they open and they allow me to enjoy their beauty. And they open gracefully, but it's grace in being. And that's what I mean in dharma, that from second to second, moment to moment, breath to breath, as we are being and allowing the universe to move through us, love is expressed. This is what I feel Khalil Gibran says, work or life is love made visible. Does that make sense?
That makes sense to me, yes, definitely. Yeah. It has also to do with actually seeing the small things. As we keep so busy, many times we miss the small things, the small beauties. I had to go to court this morning just for half an hour because I was a witness to something. But on the way there, of course, it's an unpleasant experience always, but on the way there, the sun came out, and it was so beautiful because Germany is still totally covered with snow. And when the sun shines on the snow, it's just so much beauty that for that moment, I totally forgot about court and all this stuff, and I could really focus on the beauty and really arrive there in peace and being within and being focused and being centered. And it is about noticing in every little moment what is around us also, all the beauty that is there, all the love that is shared. And
Right.
I mean, take this to heart, listeners. This is very, very important because everybody is racing and racing and racing and looking for happiness, and they look on the outside, when I have a better job, when I have more money, when I have this, when I have a husband, I will be happy. No, you are happy now when you decide that you will be happy and when you start seeing all the love and the beauty that is around you.
Yes, and it's constant, and I believe what I have learned through life is the grace of having contrast. What life gives us, it shows us light and dark, good and bad, up and down, the polar opposites. And that's very good because what I've noticed for myself and others that I know, we have the opportunity to choose where we focus. And what's amazing is the story you just shared, that when the light came out, your whole state of being and presence changed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so what I realized is, irrespective of what is going on in my life, and I have had my share of wonderful graced events that I call, people would say maybe trials or tribulations or challenges, but I call them gifts of expansion. And when I was going through them, if somebody says, can you see the light? I would have said, wait, let me show you something. You know, I don't see the light. However, in hindsight, in retrospect, and now when I have these opportunities, I choose, consciously choose, to focus on what feels good and all the blessings in my life. I may have one thing wrong, but I have a million things that feel and they're just perfect in my life. So that one thing that feels uncomfortable does not get my attention, but the 99 or the 100 or the million. Does that make sense?
Total sense. Total sense, yes. What you focus on expands. So obviously, if your focus is on the problem, this is what is going to expand. If your focus is on all the good things that are around you that are already there, then obviously those expand. So important message, definitely. So how do you know that you are living in and with your Dharma?
How do I know? I know because of the way I feel. I feel ecstatic. I feel alive. There are times when I feel I could just go on without even shutting my eyes, though I respect and honor my body and realize that, you know, it's the vehicle. However, I'm just in, I lose track of time. It's like Joseph Campbell says, follow your bliss. I feel I'm in that state of bliss where I go beyond this place of time and space. You know, I have a friend who loves to play golf, and when he's on the golf course, he says to me, I totally lose track of time. And that's because he's doing what he loves, one aspect of his dharma. And I feel this way about my work, whether I'm, you know, sharing heartfelt conversations with you right now, or whether I'm making a cup of tea, Barbara. Earlier, I was making myself a nice hot cup of tea. And I was in that state of bliss.
Excellent. So how, I mean, how would our listeners, if they have not experienced this state of bliss, it's also called in the flow, when you're in the flow, when you're in the zone, that you actually lose track of time, you're totally focused on whatever you're doing. And like Jihal said it, even if it is just making a cup of tea, you're focusing on that and you are enjoying that moment of peace while you're making this tea and while you are enjoying your tea. And that's also this multitasking that many of us do, that is counterproductive for being in the zone, for being in the flow, and for actually living your life. Very important, because it is a life of your choice. And like we said earlier, you have made that choice before you were born. So you forgot about it maybe, and hopefully we'll start to discover it again. So please listen to this later on again and take this question serious and write them down, or get my book, because I have a lot of these questions also in the book, very thought-provoking stuff in there. And very interesting and exciting stuff, actually. So,
exactly.
Where is your Dharma leading you as you continue? Because it is a journey. It's not a destination. It is a continuous journey, isn't it?
It is continuous, and it unfolds. And I'll use the word unfolding rather than unfolding. It comes from within. You know, the Emerald Tablet says, as above, so below, and it's as within, so without. And so what I realize, inside of me is my destiny, my personal legend, as Paulo Coelho says in The Alchemist. But my experience, yes, wonderful, one of my favorites. One of my experiences is that the universe, you know, if you've ever read that book, Eat, Pray, and Love, there is a passage in chapter 108 where there's a Zen Buddhist proverb that says everything, let's say, for example, the oak, the majestic oak, its destiny lies in the acorn. The acorn is unfolding and showing us the oak. The oak is coming to being. However, the Zen Buddhists say that as much as the oak, the acorn is revealing the oak. The oak so much wants to be revealed, and it is pulling forth everything that's dormant in the acorn. As I move through my journey, what I experience is that there is so much still dormant within myself, but the higher self of me that is already the majestic oak is pulling from me. And I feel called to do this and to do that, but there's a distinct pattern. So the next part of my journey is I'm currently working on developing my own live television talk show on a major network in the U.S., similar to what Oprah does. I'm not Oprah. She is my mentor. However, I feel that as she has her gifts, I too have my gifts. And I feel that is the next platform, the level that I wish to take my gifts to serve humanity, but this time millions of people all over the world.
That's wonderful. That is really great, because we need more than one show. I mean, not everyone will get on the Oprah show. We need different viewpoints, because the people that Oprah can't touch, and there are plenty of them out there because of her way of doing things, then maybe you or I can touch, because we have different ways of talking. For instance, when I started writing my book, some of my friends said, yeah, there's so many books on this topic out there on personal development. Why do you need to write another book? I said, because I speak a different language. And I don't mean a different language like German, English, or Spanish, but a different language from the heart. And we all have the same message, I believe, but I will share it in a different way than you share it, for instance, or that Oprah shares it, and it will touch different people. And this is why every one of us needs to share our calling, so that we can touch everybody on this planet, because it's so important and it's getting more and more important. Everything is changing, and we are part of this change, an important part of this change. And this is why I love doing this radio show, and I love doing the interviews also, because everyone that is on my show has a similar message, which I find very interesting, because they come from all walks of life and from all different countries, but everyone says it in a different way, and I hope that the listeners get the message and start living their purpose.
Right. And, you know, just to finish that question, after the TV show and on my way is to build schools. My heartfelt calling and desire ultimately is to build schools for human potential in the developing world, in the developed countries, starting with Uganda, where I was born.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that is, you know, part of me is still there. I feel like I'm going to go there to reclaim a part of my soul. And my way of doing it is to go back and build a school for human potential, unlike some of the schools that I have visited with the curriculum that I have written. And that is my ultimate dream and desire and calling.
Excellent. And I am totally with you, because I believe that our educational system needs to change. We've already come to the end of the show. Jihan, how can people get in touch with you?
You know, via Facebook is a good way, and my personal email address is, I gave it to you, jihanbaraka@yahoo.com. I've kept it very simple in my life, and that's one way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you want to get in touch with Jihan, she is on Facebook, very active. You can, if you didn't understand her name, it is on the to-be website, on the blog website, so you can actually see it spelled out. Otherwise, get in touch with me on Facebook or however you get in touch with me, and I will pass you on to her. Jihan, thank you so much for being on the show, for sharing this wonderful message and giving hope to everybody and showing them a few ways how they can find their true calling if they haven't found it yet. And, well, I will talk to you on Facebook like we do almost every day.
Thank you, my sister of the heart. My heartfelt appreciation to you, Barbara, and all the best to you.
Thank you very much, and speak to you soon. And for everybody else, next week, next Tuesday at 1 p.m. EST, we will have the Next to Be show, and next week we will actually finally talk about the To Be book. So see you next Tuesday. Have an inspiring, powerful week, everybody. Bye.